Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we'll do a little State of the Union, get you guys caught up on what's going on in 2021. There's also the news coming up first.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. Let's look back on an honorable mention for the 2020 ACE Awards. For most uncomfortable moment, Pauly Shore and Adam Carolla.
I was at the store where it was two nights ago. I'm there with Chappelle and Rogan, and we're all sitting there, and Adam E. gets there, and we're in the back. And I had got an email from your producer, right? Mm-hmm. And said, hey, can Adam start working out at the store?
Yeah, that was Mike August, right?
Yeah, he hit me up. So I forwarded it to Adam Egitt, who's in charge of the comedians. And, you know, and he told me to tell you to call in.
Yeah.
So the way you have to do it, everyone has to call in. I call in, everyone calls in, and you do your spot. And then he said you went on, and you went on 32 minutes or something?
No, I
what
went
did he
20.
Say? I was it's okay. To do, no, I, you didn't know. You didn't know.
No, I did. I should have. It was 15 minutes set.
Okay.
I did 22 minutes.
Yeah, that's really bad.
And I felt horrible.
That's terrible.
When he
you
told me about
do,
it.
I don't do fucking 22 minutes. I get off at 16.
I did not know. I wasn't the light. I was in the room I'd never been in and stuff like that. And I felt horrible.
Yeah.
And
he said he wanted to send you back to the Laugh Factory. He's like, we're going to send him to Flappers, bro. I'm like, dude, give him another shot, dude. Just tell him the fucking rules.
Congratulations to all the 2020 ACE Award nominees and winners. The 2021 ACE Awards this December. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Never too early to start planning the 2022 or the 2021 ACE Awards. Jesus, I had to write down 21 for the first time the other day. Like, I had to write down...
Oh, like a check or something?
I like 1, 2, 21. It seemed so bizarre.
Doesn't it always feel simultaneously like, how did we get here to like, hasn't it been 2021 for the past 6 months? Like, don't you have that feeling of like, of course, you know, it took you long enough.
It was weird because 2000 was always the thing that everyone was looking at all through the 80s and the 90s. Oh, yeah. When did 2000, year 2000, it's going to be a big deal. That'll be the future and stuff. And now it's 2021, which doesn't seem like much. Also, I don't know. You want to be around during the beginning or the end? Like you hear about these people. He was born in 1821, like, or he died in 1825. Like I always go, oh, I want to, like, I feel that way with people and birthdays. Like when someone says, my birthday's in January, I always go, oh,
yeah. Really?
So close to Christmas.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, that's the way I feel. All right, we have some more trending stories, Max Banner.
Yeah, I'll round out the cornfield corner with one last guy.
Cornfield
and
corner.
this is today, actually. This has been happening. There's a guy who's been trending. His name's John Roderick. He is the singer from the aptly named band, The Long Winters, and he also co-hosts a podcast with Ken Jennings. But everybody's referring to him as Bean Dad.
Oh, thank you. Please explain this to me.
Okay, yes. So he tweeted last night. So yesterday, my daughter, 9, was hungry, and I was doing a jigsaw puzzle. So I said over my shoulder, "Make some baked beans." She said, "How?" Like all kids do when they want you to do it. So I said, "Open a can and put it in the pot." She brought me the can and said, "Open it how?" And then he goes on to tweet like another 10 tweets. And basically they were at it for 6 hours trying to open this can. He wouldn't help her at all. She had to figure out all herself how to use a can opener. Lots of frustration, some tears. John said that neither he or his daughter will eat until the can is opened. Well, a lot of people are upset calling it child abuse for him not letting his daughter eat for 6 hours and letting her.
And the prize was a can of beans.
Yeah, and the prize was a can of beans. Everybody's been up in arms. And so John's been responding to these tweets saying, look, 6 hours is not that long. It's from lunch to dinner. That's 6 hours. That's how long we go. And nobody can should be saying anything about my daughter because you guys don't know our relationship. And he's been kind of fighting back. He even changed his Twitter bio to Bean Dad since 2021 and has been responding. But there's been some unearthed tweets that people have been digging up from his past.
Oh, really?
Because he's been in the spotlight. So, for instance, in 2012, somebody tweeted a screenshot of an exchange he had with a lady who said that her kid's soccer team was called the Stormtroopers, but mothers of the other team made us change it because of the Nazis. And he said, "Jews ruin everybody's fun." Yeah, so that he got caught for that. And then he also did a tweet where he said...
Now, couldn't that be a... That's a joke,
That's
though.
A joke.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And then he also said, "Every time I use a word like gay or retarded, some gay retard reminds me those words are hurtful." And that was in 2011.
I like this guy. And I love beans.
Deep thoughts by Jock Handy.
Well,
and Adam knows how to open the can.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, one of the things that was a bit of a breakthrough that no one has in their house anymore, because I guess people don't do enough canned whatever, but going back to the conveniences and the promise of the future, the wall mount can opener with the big crank on it, the one that just sunk right into the wood, and you just put the two lag screws into it and go right into the casing of the door in the kitchen. You just crank that thing. That fucking
Same
thing
place
worked.
The pencil sharpener would have been in class.
Right.
My friend's in-laws have this old house with the toaster that is built into the wall.
Yeah.
And you can pull out the toaster and it still works.
Oh. Right.
It's like the Murphy toaster?
Yeah, yes. It's like a Murphy toaster.
Wow.
Yeah. But once again, it's not like anyone ever walked into their kitchen and tripped over a toaster. Like it takes
these damn cumbersome toasters.
Yeah, it takes up less than a cubic foot on your countertop. And if you don't got enough space for a toaster, you got bigger problems than toaster space. This is a square footage issue. Right. So he likes to fuck around, this guy.
Yeah, and Ken Jennings has been defending him hard. Like, look, he is not an anti-Semite. He's just been joking. He's actually very pro-Israel in all of our podcasts and blah, blah, blah. So it's nice to see Ken Jennings defending him. But... as of now, Roderick deleted his Twitter account after those old tweets were dug up. And the podcast, My Brother and Me, which used a song that Roderick wrote for the theme music, just announced that they would no longer be using that music on their show.
Who does the digging up of the old tweets? How does that job work?
I think because I mean, this guy tweeted a lot. So I think what you got to do is, if you hate a person, you put that person's name in the search bar and then just put words like retard, Jews, gay, and see if there's anything. If I were a troll, that's what I would do.
Chris
Locksamana. Yeah. So, God. Also, people are super sensitive with kids now. Like, they're insane with kids. Like, everything, you can't fuck around with kids at all. And by the way, there's a big part of parenting which is kind of fucking around with kids. Like, kind of, it's in a weird way, in a bizarre way, it's kind of what you would do with your dog. It's kind of like that thing where you're throwing them the tennis ball and you do the pump once. Like, it's kind of, especially boys, it's fun to fuck around with them a little bit. Like, it's fun to go, figure it out, or let's do this. Or you just call them a name or something, or one note. You know, it's just, it's sad that everyone's going to take everything out of context and fucking ruin everybody. But they had to drop the song from the podcast. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah, so unfortunately, I mean, he was responding to everybody saying they were insane and this is nuts, but then he deleted his account, so I don't know.
The song was called Gay Retard.
Yeah. That's why. I don't know about girls, because I don't really spend much time with little girls, but I can tell you, when it comes to this little boy, sarcasm is a love language.
Yes.
Like, if he says, "Come over here, I want you to give me a hug," I'll say, "I don't like kids and I don't like hugs."
Right.
And he starts laughing and he thinks it's so fun. And
that
I mean,
drop.
That's how we can. Then, of course, I give him a big hug and tell him I love him. But we have to have that sort of back and forth first, because it makes him laugh.
Yeah. Ball busting is a time honored tradition, and it always means affection. You bust the balls of the people you love. Ask Jeff Ross. I mean, that's how you do it. You play practical jokes on them. You bust their chops. You fuck around with them. And that's how you know you guys have a relationship. If you really just think about it, you would never dream of doing that to a stranger, right? That would be insane. And you wouldn't do it to someone you didn't really care for that much either. As a matter of fact, you'd never do it to someone you didn't really care for that much because you're always self-conscious that they do think you don't like them.
They
and
know.
So you go the other direction. You're always like saccharine sweet with them. But yeah, busting your kids' chops. Time honored. And by the way, don't sleep on the Boston baked beans. Ask Hilaria. She when she's not in Mallorca, yeah. She's Hilaria. Cooking up those Boston beans. Nothing fucking better than those Boston baked beans. I feel like they've been sort of I don't know. I feel like they've been combed out of our society. Maybe it's a West Coast thing. I don't see them anymore. I love them.
They kind of gone the way of meatloaf. You know, they're just not on anyone's radar.
But they're so goddamn good. So as I was thinking about the show in 2021, I thought 2020 was such a fucking pig fuck. All this COVID business it's like, ugh. And I don't know. I don't feel like anyone could really escape it. And then also a presidential race going on and stuff. And it just became very political. And, I'd like this year to just get back to, the funny and the poignant and the interesting and, don't have to talk about Trump. Don't ever have to talk about Biden. We don't have to talk about COVID. Just to drift back, although obviously this show started with Drew getting COVID, but I just happened to be there when he got it. So it's kind of hard to avoid that one. But I think for me, we'll pull out some of our evergreen bits like Slippery Slope Guy and some of the bits we used to do on a more regular basis and get them into Who the F Sells This S and things like that. And with a more of a focus on comedy and a little less on, I don't know, COVID and all the shit that's going on that was irritating me all throughout the throughout the year, although
it was a cathartic year. We cleansed.
And
although what? I got to hear the end of this.
Sorry.
I got to say, other than being bothered by everyone else being bothered by COVID, it didn't affect me that much. I didn't have real strong. It's like I said, Drew got it. I knew Drew got it, but I never thought about getting it. I have this bizarre relationship with things like that. I literally don't think about it. Like I have never thought about the vaccine once. I have no thoughts about it.
I think about it constantly.
And most people do, and for some they should. For me, I've always been like, I'm not in that high risk zone, and if I get it, I get it, and I'll take the vaccine whenever the vaccine comes out, give it to all the people who are in the high risk zones and the essential workers and do all that. And then if there's enough at the end, I'll take it. But you got to wonder, by the time they get around to folks like me, are we going to have herd immunity? I feel like everyone's going to get the vaccine before I get the vaccine. At a certain point, 80% of the population is going to be vaccinated. The other 19.5% will have had it already, and then they'll be me.
By the time they get around to giving it to you, who's left to catch it from?
Yeah.
Right. So there's that. So we'll focus on that. We'll pull out some of the bits, and we'll get those into regular rotation, and we'll steer toward the light this year. All right. Why don't we take a quick break, and then we got Gina and her first newscast of 2021. All right, we'll do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So there was this really horrible news that most of us woke up to on Christmas. It was unavoidable if you have any news notifications on your phone. There was this bizarre bombing in Nashville early Christmas morning. But the thing is, nobody died. It looks like three people had minor injuries. It was in the middle of, you know, a business, you know, district, essentially, in, you know, on Christmas morning. So there was nobody there. But that doesn't make this any less creepy. So the man who's now known as the Christmas bomber, Anthony Warner, got a disturbing... Oh, I'm sorry. That was incorrect. He was the friend of the Christmas bomber who knew him. This man, Anthony Warner, got a disturbing surprise in his mail New Year's Day. He received a package from the Christmas bomber. The package was postmarked on December 23rd, 2 days before this bombing, and this guy killed himself in the bombing. The package contained at least 9 typed pages, 2 Samsung thumb drives, and was immediately turned over to the FBI. The letter urged the friend to watch some internet videos he had included on the thumb drives. On another page, Warner wrote about 9/11 conspiracy theories. He said the moon landing and 9/11 have so many anomalies, they're hard to count. Warner later wrote that September 2011 was supposed to be the end game for the planet, because that's when he believed that aliens and UFOs began launching their attacks on Earth. He wrote about lizard people. He wrote about how they tweaked the DNA of humans, and so the reptiles are walking among us. And if this isn't all bizarre, I'm sure you've heard the audio by now. There was a recording, an audio message that played before the bomb went off, warning people to leave the area. And this is what was being essentially broadcast down the street, trying to get people to leave, I guess, before the bomb. Here's like 30 seconds of it.
This area must be evacuated now. This area must be evacuated now.
This area must be
evacuated now.
Wow, then it blew up.
Inside the RV, you can go ahead and inside the RV where the bomb was. But then something that's since come out, apparently a call was put into the police that there were gunshots before the bombing. So they're wondering if this was a way to lure cops and first responders down there, but get everybody else out. Still unclear, still investigating it.
I wonder if the guy killed himself with a gun before the bomb blew up. Also, in terms of RVs, it was the best of times, it was the worst of times, right? Like, you see all these celebrities getting in their RVs and going to the Grand Canyon and Monument Valley and stuff. And then you see all those RVs parked in Sun Valley next to the airport, and the people fucking living in squalor.
Rich man, poor man.
It is a rich man, poor man thing, this RV. There is either the worst, there's either nut jobs putting bombs in there, or celebs on vacation.
If your best friend tells you, oh, we're getting an RV, you were either really happy for them in their retirement, or you're really worried and concerned.
Yeah.
Yes.
Is this a full-time residence? What are we talking about?
Yes. So this guy blew himself up.
Yeah.
He didn't kill anybody else. I guess that's good. I don't know what he was doing and why he had to do it in downtown.
I mean, and he mailed these packages to people. So maybe to get attention about the reptiles, reptile humans walking among us, because that's what this 9-page letter was about.
I never get the obsession with like the moon landing or things like that. Like, my feeling is 99% sure it happened. If it was a hoax, God bless them. They fucking nailed it.
Good one.
That was awesome. And if it was a hoax, Neil Armstrong wouldn't have butchered his line.
That's right.
Right. They would have done a reshoot.
They would have got it. They would have got that. They would have cleaned that up in post.
Yeah. Kubrick would have made sure they got a good take.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Did you guys see this? Talk about viral videos. This fight that went down in this doorway in Quebec.
No.
Oh, my God. This is insane. It half in French, half in English. This violent confrontation went down in Quebec on New Year's Eve when cops were called to a home after neighbors complained there was a party going on, which is a no-no during COVID restrictions.
No
house parties. So they showed up. TMZ reports that cops say the homeowner lied to them, claimed there were only 2 people in the house, but there were tons of cars parked outside. So that story didn't hold water. And as all hell breaks loose, people inside start fighting the cops, which I'll show you in a second. The homeowner claims cops used excessive force and also tore into the PD because one of the cops wasn't wearing a mask. Well, a spokesperson for the department says, yeah, he wasn't wearing a mask because someone had just punched him and knocked him so hard the mask flew off because of this brawl. Cops say it's highly likely everyone inside will get slapped with some sort of a fine. And here's a little bit that somebody was recording on, like, the steps as they're doing a tug of war with the guy in the doorway.
That's definitely drunk guy.
He's clinging to that doorway. Kicks are pulling him back.
Who's pulling who?
Oh, God. Can't even be a cop in Quebec anymore.
Don't fucking do that. Don't you fucking do that.
Okay, calm down.
Stay fucking here.
Okay,
we're calm. Don't do that.
We're calm. Don't do that.
We're
wrestling that guy to the ground and the wall.
I can't believe, you know, it's kind of a joke, but it's kind of true. There used to be a kind of a reverence for cops. You couldn't talk to them a certain way, you know? And now everyone's just up in their grill fucking screaming at them, and all every Karen in the world is calling them a racist and spitting on them and shit like that. And this is kind of the next logical step to just calling them fuckheads all the time and murderers or racists or whatever. It's just a physical. It's just that whatever that division was between the cops. Like when I was a kid, if a cop showed up, it's like, oh, dump out that beer, fucking maintain, look out, here he comes. Like it was
follow
like
that cigarette.
Yeah, you just had to. I've when I was young, if I was driving and a cop pulled up next to me, I would turn the radio down. Like I didn't want to get into trouble.
Oh yeah.
He may not like Boston, so I got to turn the shit down. Or Majorca, my second favorite band.
That's right.
But the point is now it's just, it's not a good societal thing when everyone is putting their hands on cops. I know this is in Canada, right?
Yeah, in Quebec.
There was another incident that Max Patton can look for. I saw it on TMZ over the break, which is like some guys were just sort of brawling. I think they're in Brooklyn or something. And then it kind of broke up, and then one guy, like, got into his car. And the other guy, there's two things. We used to have a certain reverence for cops, and we used to have a certain reverence for cars. Now everyone's just smashing everyone in the hood and taking mountain bikes and, like, throwing it against cars and all that kind of shit. And I'm so surprised it doesn't happen more often. But every once in a while, someone in that car is just going to fucking punch it. Like, you can only stand in front of a guy's car and beat on the hood for so long before somebody just fucking punches it. And he drove this guy right through, like, a bakery window. Like, literally just hopped the curb, blew out the window. It was pretty spectacular shit. It was a TMZ thing. And he just, that one guy, like, got out of the car and started punching the other guy's kicking the fender or whatever, and he got in front of the car, and this guy just fucking punched it. There was another situation where, like, I guess some elderly people are, like, in their SUV, and a bunch of fucking assholes in New York, like, were jumping on the hood and jumping on. I'm always surprised that not more people don't just mash the accelerator. Yeah. Like, fuck it. There's a whole group of people trying to tear us out of our car and smash our car. We have a car. Right. It's almost like saying, I have a gun, and there's a whole bunch of people trying to attack me. Like, I don't know, shoot them.
Like, kind of stand your ground-ish. It's like, yes. Well, you're being attacked inside your vehicle. There's one way to get out of the situation.
Fucking punch it.
Those stories did we go through last year? And now we're saying last year with the rioting and the protesting.
That was last year, Gina. Right?
But that was the thing. The headline was always, you know, like, crazed driver punches it mowing through crowd.
Right. I think everyone's worried about the optics of, like, the elderly white couple running over the black teen. But if the black teen is jumping on the hood of your car and trying to kick in the windshield, you go ahead and punch it. We'll worry about the optics later. Did you find that, Max Zapata?
I'm still looking.
It was probably TMZ, probably about a week ago. And it was pretty spectacular shit. I think it was out of New York. And the one guy, I think in the BMW, just punched it and just drove the guy right through the plate glass window of, like, a bakery. I don't even know if anyone got hurt, but it was like glass was flying everywhere.
You don't know if anyone got hurt.
I'd imagine someone got hurt.
Well, sometimes the most spectacular shit doesn't really yield a lot of bad results, and then sometimes it's the little shit where people really get fucked up.
Oh yeah, I found it. This is from mid-November.
Oh, it was mid-November.
A parking spot brawl turns into a violent road rage crash, and the car slams into a bakery.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, we'll get the video in a little bit.
Yeah, sorry.
And to bring it back to Alec Baldwin, he can say, look, we all get in parking spot brawls. At least I didn't drive anyone through a plate glass window.
That's right. With your fist like a man.
Yeah. It's cars can be dangerous. Cars will kill you. Cars kill you like a gun would kill you. And you never, like I always say, here's my thing. Don't treat cops like cops. Treat them like a dude with a gun. It'll change your perspective. You'll tend not to want to wrestle. No one would wrestle with a guy who just had a gun. Mm-hmm. Well, just pretend the cop is just a guy with a gun. And if you're standing in front of a 4,000-pound car, pretend that person has a gun in the form of their right foot that they could just punch it and drag you under the fucking car. So treat the car like a gun and treat the cops like a guy with a gun versus law enforcement. Oh, it's a 30-second video?
Oh, no, it's 30 seconds till the video.
Oh.
It's loading right now. But while we're waiting for that, I should let it be known that Rainbow Bakery, the bakery that was crashed
open
into,
that day?
Yeah, just opened for business that Monday, so that week. Yeah.
Yeah, they literally just opened this bakery, and this guy drove his BMW right through it. And it was, again, glass was fucking flying. I don't know what happened to the guy who he ran over. I don't know if he was, I think he went back first. I mean, he was between the bumper and the bakery window, and this guy just went right into it. But
yeah, so I see the man behind the wheel, Ji Zhao, was arrested for assault and reckless endangerment, and then the passenger in the Audi, Jonathan Zhang, also arrested for assault, and the bakery owner said he was sad about his shop getting destroyed.
Yeah.
I'm glad we got that quoted.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So hold on. He wasn't elated.
No.
Saying he was sad about his shop?
Yeah, TMZ reports that the bakery owner said he was sad.
That's some crack reporting. Do you really have to pick up a phone call to get that? Pick up a phone to get that quote, or just you could just pencil
have to go
that
to
in?
Deep cover,
right?
Yeah. Cover stuff.
All right, we'll play it for you. They got into a brawl. And the guy got out of the car. I think the guy's a stick or something.
Yeah. He's got something.
Then they get into the street fight.
We got fists. Baseball bat or something.
He's got like
it is a baseball bat.
It's like a club. Yeah. Then one guy gets back into his car, and I think
he's like, "I don't want to park here."
And then there's like a round two, where the guy goes up to the car and starts kicking the car. And he'll, like, try to turn it around. People, I don't know, blame it on COVID or too many video games or too much Adderall. I don't know what's going on. But now the guy with the club is now smacking the car. And this guy then runs him over and drives his car right through a bakery window.
Well, at least he put his hazards on.
Yeah.
He did. Wow.
That car is inside the fucking bakery.
Inside the bakery.
Like a garage.
That's like back toward the bathrooms. It's so far inside.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. His bumper's poking out of the bakery's ass.
Cops say three women and a man, including a bakery employee, hospitalized with non-life-threatening injuries.
Was the guy sad that he got ran over?
That wasn't reported, so I don't know. I don't know.
Get Harvey
Rainbow
Levin on that.
Rainbow bakery owner sad.
Yeah. So, that was pretty spectacular shit. Now, my feeling is no one deserves to be driven through a plate glass bakery window. But on the other hand, if you're going to stand in front of a car and beat it with a bat, then shit happens.
Yep.
That's all.
You're rolling the dice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of dice rolling, and you know what? As you said in your State of the Union, I have high hopes that just this whole thing will go away by January 20th, but a little more more, you know, I think we could call this unearthed. A little more audio that was probably not planning on making its way to the public. Fox is reporting that President Trump insisted that he won the state of Georgia in the 2020 presidential race during a phone call with Georgia Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger over the weekend, reportedly urging him to find enough votes to reverse the state's results. So somebody, now I'm going to play you the audio, and it sounds like Raffensperger's on the phone. So whoever recorded this had to be in the room with Trump, but we don't know who they are, and we don't know who gave this to the Washington Post. So they reported the conversation. They posted like the full hour long audio. And Trump says to Raffensperger, all I want to do is this. I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more vote than we have because we won the state. And Georgia certified election results show that Trump's Democratic opponent, Biden, won by 11,779. So he's just looking for one more. So after asking about the rumors that inner workings of the voting machinery had been removed and votes had been shredded, Raffensperger responds, and the conversation is concluded with this sort of back and forth. Here's just like a really short clip of it.
Mr. President, you have people that submit information, and we have our people that submit information, and then it comes before the court, and the court then has to make a determination. We have to stand by our numbers. We believe our numbers are right.
Well, under law, you're not allowed to give faulty election results, okay? You're not allowed to do that, and that's what you've done. This is a faulty election result. And honestly, this should go very fast. You should meet tomorrow because you have a big election coming up, and because of what you've done to the president, you know, the people of Georgia know that this was a scam. And because of what you've done to the president, a lot of people aren't going out to vote. And a lot of Republicans are going to vote negative because they hate what you did to the president.
He's a president, right?
I'll be glad to be done talking about Trump this year.
It also sounds, when you don't see any video, it sort of just sounds like Kyle Dunnigan's doing it.
Yeah, it's very Dunnigan-esque.
Hey, let me ask you guys, I don't want to get on COVID here, but I was in Vegas.
Here we go again.
And they were like, Seinfeld's coming to town and Sting is coming to town and these big acts are coming to town and they're going to do like a residency there and Sting's going to do a residency and the Who and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, how does this residency stuff? The Who? How does this stuff work now? Is Seinfeld allowed to put 5,000 people in an arena in Vegas? And
well, now it's Vegas. I wouldn't be shocked at all.
Are they just soft penciling this in? Like, was this a date that was moved?
They're all up on the big marquee. They're coming to town.
Like
Sting.
In June or like in
when
February?
When is Sting like coming to Caesar's Palace
because
or something?
Once you know, vaccine becomes widespread, things aren't to open up widely. I could see them wanting to jump on it ASAP.
Rod Stewart's coming to town.
Yeah.
It was like all these big names, and I was like, well, how are they so sure they can pull this off? And there's no shows, to the best of my knowledge, there's nothing going on now.
I have Sting for dates from between May 7th to October 30th.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. They're probably putting billboards up like, hey, this is happening, you know, in July.
Mm-hmm. All right.
I can see them wanting to get, you know, advanced tickets or whatever. These people, I imagine the big venues are hurting.
I would imagine, too. But I don't know. I guess they'll just sell them and refund them if it's not safe. Or
yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
Hey, speaking of that, were you in Vegas on a weekend or during the week?
Sting's the luckiest fucking guy in the world, by the way, because Sting, it's like Sting plays his hits or just the singles or whatever it is. And all Sting needs to do, he gets up there with his bass guitar and he just turns every song into a reggae version of the song you remember, like Roxanne is a reggae. Yeah. Don't Stand So Close to Me. It all just gets done in this kind of reggae sort of. Yeah. Sort of, and he plucks away on the bass and everyone loves it. I was there over the weekend.
Okay. I asked because, you know, a lot of those hotels are closed during the week now.
Oh.
Just because they can't afford to pay a staff for an empty hotel. So I didn't know if you had noticed that or not.
They're
closed from like Monday to Thursday or something like that.
I got to tell you, the casino was hopping. The strip was hopping. The restaurants were hopping. There were no signs of that place slowing down or closing down in any way, shape, or form. So that's Vegas. And then you fly your 100% full Southwest flight back to LAX. But as you fly back to LAX, you fly over the Rams and Chargers new stadium, which has not had a human being in it.
Tumbleweed.
Literally not one spectator. Imagine that. You build a $5 billion stadium and they can't.
Yeah.
One human being has never seen a game, one spectator in that stadium yet, and the season's now come to an end.
It's like opening a bakery.
That's right.
A BMW crash in the window the opening
That's
week.
That's right. That's like that Alanis Morissette song. All right, what else we got, Gina?
Yeah, we can shit on L.A. all we want, but that doesn't mean we're not number one. We are. The L.A. County is the most dangerous area in the United States, according to FEMA. After doing the little research on different counties, FEMA calculated the risk for every county in America for 18 types of natural disasters.
Oh, like earthquakes, fires and
hurricanes,
shit?
Tornadoes, yeah. Floods, volcanoes, even tsunamis. The pandemic wasn't even counted. And we already know we're in lockdown, shutdown, hotspot mode. Of the more than 3,000 counties surveyed, FEMA found L.A. County has the highest ranking in national risk, in the National Risk Index. So the calculations are made in an index determining how often disasters strike, how many people, how much property is in harm's way, how vulnerable the population is, and how well an area can return to normal. That determines its risk, which evaluates how bad the results of the carnage would be. L.A. has this dense urban environment. We're a prime target. FEMA's top 10 riskiest places are L.A. County, three counties in New York, Miami, Philadelphia, Dallas, St. Louis, and our neighbors, Riverside and San Bernardino counties, right here next to L.A.
What goes on in Riverside? Are these people falling off of ladders, or this is actual acts of nature?
Disasters. Yeah, and yeah. It's like natural disaster, how quickly you could recover, how dense is the population.
That, you know, I've lived in L.A. my whole life. Earthquakes kill, I don't know, we have an earthquake every like 14 years and it kills 2.5 people. Like it's right. Just earthquakes. People, you know, people have the same relationship with earthquakes as they do with sharks. Every time I talk to somebody who won't go in the ocean, they're like, I'm not going in because of sharks, man. It's like, you're not going in the ocean because of sharks. Yeah, no, I don't like it. And it's like, right, statistically, it's a zero, obviously, in terms of danger. But it's a zero with earthquakes, too, but it's also invisible. People can't see it. They can't time it, and it freaks them out. You know? Yep. People don't like going into the ocean because they can't see, especially out here. You can't see your feet. Yeah. They don't like the idea that there's something down there that they can't see. And I was trying to get my son in the ocean the other day, and he was explaining to me that 95% of the ocean is unexplored.
You can't get him into third gear.
I know. So they explore more of the ocean, he's not going in. Okay. Yeah. So I'll talk to Jacques Jr. or God, what's the director's name is always out there.
Oh,
the Titanic.
Cameron.
Yeah. But
do you think that's the reason, or is it because you're out there at 6:30 a.m. trying to push him
into the ocean?
I was going to say, are you on a salmon boat in the middle of nowhere? Or is
Come
this
on, boy.
On the shore.
I go in the ocean, so I just go out there and swim around, and then I come back and I try to push him out in the ocean too. But he got up to like his kneecaps, but he doesn't like it. We saw dolphins.
Tessa gets in deeper.
Phil gets in deeper. We saw a nice pod of dolphins going by. He was sure they were sharks. So
now might be a good time to remind him that he has more of a chance of getting raped by a dolphin than bitten by a shark.
Oh, no. He's
great, Gina. Now one more thing to be afraid of.
He's factored that in. He told me dolphins were not, I know, like, we all grew up watching Flipper. That is not the situation with dolphins.
No.
But if you think about either the ocean or earthquakes, they never really do anything to anybody. I mean, in terms of like sharks and that kind of shit, everyone's perpetually freaked out by them. And there's really no need for it at all. Earthquakes, by the way, when it comes to like technology and engineering and building and codes and all that kind of stuff, there's really no danger anymore. And we don't even really have them. Now, I
guess
you'd
have to be like outside by a downed power line, like a freak accident.
Yes, you'd have to have something like that. All right, let's do one more, Gina Grad.
All right. Well, you know what? Let's wish somebody a happy birthday for the last story. Greta Thunberg. How dare you?
Oh. Greta 18? Thunberg.
She has turned 18, and she thanked her fans with a snarky little Twitter message about how she was celebrating. Her tweet said, "Thank you so much for all the well wishes on my 18th birthday. Tonight you will find me down at the local pub exposing all the dark secrets behind the climate and conspiracy."
Sorry, the climate and what? We had a little snafu. Oh,
can you hear me?
Yeah, the climate and what?
There you go. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Better, yes.
I think it's because I was speaking ill of Greta Thunberg.
Oh, no.
I got smote. She says she'll be at the pub exposing all the dark secrets behind the climate and school strike conspiracy and my evil handlers who can no longer control me. I'm free at last. So that is how, and she has a t-shirt and she put up Kaylin, I don't know if you have it, her little birthday, that Flat Mars Society. Happy 18th.
Gotta keep an eye on this one. I don't trust her. Is she back in Sweden? Netherlands? Where is she? She's somewhere, right?
Isn't she from the Netherlands?
I think so.
I really couldn't tell you.
Home of the pina colada. As,
that's right.
As Dawson knows.
A famous Dutch drink.
Yeah.
Can't miss it.
Yeah.
Her Twitter bio says Sweden.
Okay.
Oh, Sweden.
All right. Well, we look forward to good things coming from her. But I do want to say you only get to be a kid once, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, having the weight of the world on you. Also, when you're into solving problems, and we should all be into solving problems, you should pick problems that are solvable.
Yes, go with the low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, like nail fungus or something like that. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I'm going to get some of this tenactin spray or something from the drugstore, and I'm going to take care of my nail fungus. Or whatever that problem is, make it solvable. If you're 15 years old and you've decided that climate and global warming and all this, or even systemic racism or something like that, that's your problem, then you're just going to go decade after decade after decade, because there is no finish line for solving systemic racism or climate change or whatever. It's just going to be a continue albatross. And right. I'd say pick some stuff like, I don't know, a leaky roof.
Things, hanging a picture.
Yes, things that can be solved. Pepper some of those problems that can be solved in there, and it's a much better life. Yes,
you're right. Experts do say to, like, your to-do list, put a few easy things in there just to get yourself rolling.
Right.
Do the easy things first. And I think she is trying to fix a leaky roof called the ozone layer.
That's
the ultimate leaky roof. That's right.
All right, let's bring her home.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
Naples, Florida, off the hook, January 16th, 17th. Tickets are almost sold out to that, so says Mike August, over the holiday break. So we'll do a live pod there, and we'll also do some stand-up there. But if you want to get in on that and you want to come out live and check it out, it's almost sold out. So please go out and buy up the rest of those tickets. Burbank, California, we've got the Pickwick Bowl January 23rd, doing a parking lot show, stand up there. Dawson's going to be opening, everybody, doing stand up as well. Oklahoma City, Bricktown Comedy Club, February 26th, 27th. So go to amcroll.com for all the live stuff. We're doing a Q&A tomorrow on stereo at 2 p.m. Pacific.
Today, as you hear this.
As you hear this, sorry. And until next time, Adam, for Brian and Gina, saying mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can also find him there on Facebook and the thumbs up. And leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and pick up the book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, by Adam Carolla. It's available everywhere. The links are at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.